The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he's still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. I wish I was someplace else rather than here this morning. I wish I didn't have to preach on this gospel that you just heard. If anyone comes to me without hating your father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, taking up your cross, giving up everything you own, forget about it. Come on, Luke, this is Labor Day weekend. Don't you have something about barbecues and beach balls and picnics or something? There's no gospel for a holiday. This is no gospel for a holiday and the end of summer. So what should I do? Cop out? Talk about something else? No, that's not why I get the big bucks. So let's take another look at Luke's gospel. St. Luke wrote this gospel about 50 or 60 years after the death of Jesus to a community in Asia Minor that was going through a lot of persecution and challenge. For anyone to commit themselves to Jesus Christ meant getting themselves in a lot of trouble, dividing their family, and there were instances where even a father and mother or brother and sister would be betrayed and turned over to by another family member to martyrdom. So Luke was using this story of Jesus speaking to this great crowd wanting to follow him to present these stark words, warning them that it would not be easy. It would be very demanding. Luke uses some very, Jesus uses too, some very Semitic words to bring out this challenge. Words like hate. Now that word hate really means to love less. In the other Gospels, Jesus doesn't talk about hate. In fact, he tells us to love one another. But in Matthew, Jesus says, "Whoever loves father and mother, brother and sister more than me is not worthy of me." And in Mark, he promises 100-fold to those, quote, "who leave father and mother, brother and sister, house and possessions." They don't say hate them. But Luke here is using this strong, harsh Semitic language to stress the urgency of what he's talking about, the urgency of what Jesus wants, that is to renounce any family ties or anything that would prevent us from becoming a disciple of Jesus. This includes the willing to take up the cross, and because this was written after the crucifixion, of course, taking up the cross meant being willing to die for what you believe in, as well as renouncing all of your possessions. In fact, all this comes in the Gospel of Luke as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and crucifixion. So Luke is saying, if this is what happens to the master, the disciple should not expect anything less. But what about you and me here on our way 2,000 years later? Well, a story, an old story might help. There was a master carpenter named Sam, and he worked for his boss, Ben, for over 15 years when he told him that he was ready to retire. So Sam threw him a big retirement party, gave him a check for $1,000, and asked him what he wanted to do in his retirement. Now, when Sam saw that check, he thought, $1,000? I've worked 15 years for this man, and this is what he's going to give me? And when Sam was asked what he was going to do for his retirement, he said, I want to find a nice piece of property and build my retirement home. But Ben said, well, before you do that, would you be willing to build a dream home for me? Sam wasn't too anxious to do that, especially after that check he got. But when he saw the plans for a beautiful home with a wondrous view, he decided to do it. But his heart wasn't in it. He was still stinging from that check that he considered so insufficient. Now, Sam had always prided himself, being a master carpenter, on the quality of his craftsmanship, how he would be so attentive to so many details. But when he got this job and his heart wasn't in it, he skimped on the foundation and then pocketed the change. He didn't care much about details, and he did pretty shoddy work. So when he told his boss, Ben, that the house was ready, Ben thanked him, paid him the amount of money that he had agreed upon, and gave him a thank you envelope. Well, Sam took the envelope with some disdain. He was still hurting. And then he opened the envelope, and he found the deed to the house that he had been working on. He thought, oh, if he had only done what he had been committed to all his life, great craftsmanship, attention to detail, he would have felt so much better now about the house that he now had as his own. Well, you and I have been building our lives all this time. Maybe today's gospel is really asking you and me, no matter how old or young we are, have we been true to our ideals, to our commitment, to our faith in our ordinary life, to our priorities, trying to live our faith in everyday life? Or like Sam, have we skimped on some things, taking shortcuts, felt that life hasn't been fair to us, our worth has really not been recognized, maybe we've been cheated, so what's the use? And that has affected our spiritual lives too. We could be so much better. But when I prepare these Sunday homilies, and sometimes I'll take out an old homily I had prepared before, and I say, maybe this one's good enough. But then, or I may be working on a homily like this one a couple of days ago and said, all right, that's good enough. But then I ask myself, is it ever good enough for me to try to help you in your faith, in the struggles that you have every day that are often so much, not often, probably always so much greater than the struggles I have? Is it ever good enough for me to say, okay, let's do it this way? Well, when I prepared this, I said no. So I went back to the books for a while and did some more praying and thinking. Now, that may not show in the homily you're getting this morning, but I think today we both have to ask ourselves, could we be doing better? We don't have to fear persecution or the loss of family members or betrayal. We just have to be true to ourselves, to our ideals, to what we have committed ourselves to, those dreams we once had about who we could really be. Mother Teresa, who was canonized in Rome this morning, once said, "God has not called me to be successful. God has called me to be faithful." And that will be the way we hate, in the Semitic sense of loving the right things, giving priority to the right things in our life, taking up our cross in the Christian sense of choosing to bear up under our ordinary daily circumstances of life. So it's Labor Day weekend, the end of summer, and the start of the rest of our life. Maybe Luke wasn't so wrong after all.